Good afternoon, and welcome to the Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on various energy topics of interest to Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. Over the last 5 years, we've used this program to keep you up to date on the initiatives of the Cape Light Compact, which is an intergovernmental entity comprised of the 21 towns in two counties that make up Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. I'm your host, Matt Dudley, an Energy Efficiency Program Coordinator with the Compact, whose offices are located at the Superior Courthouse in Barnstable. The Cape Light Compact, renowned as a municipal aggregator and for its energy efficiency programs, has evolved immensely since its inception in 1997, thanks in part to the dedicated board of directors, management, and staff. Today I'll be joined by Joe Sorries, Senior Power Supply Planner for the Compact, and retired Commercial and Industrial Program Planner and former Focus on Energy host, John Burns. We'll be discussing some of the Compact services and some of their experiences since they both joined the Compact in 2003. John, Joe, welcome.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having us here.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Glad to see you.
Great. So both of you have been with the Cape Light Compact for quite some time, right? 2003 or so for both of you?
I started in September 2003, correct.
John?
And it was June 2003. I was just a few months ahead of Joe.
So you guys have been with the Cape Light Compact, affiliated with it at least for the last 10 years.
10 years, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff has changed with the Cape Light Compact.
Sure
in
has.
The last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So guys, for the listeners, what's really the function of the Cape Light Compact? What does it offer?
The Cape Light Compact, Matt, was formed in 1997 after several years of town meeting votes and work to actually form the Compact. In all of that time, it really now provides three main values to consumers. The first is a competitive power supply program. The second is a highly valued and effective energy efficiency program. And the third is consumer advocacy, which I think a lot of consumers don't realize that the Cape Light Compact is very active on their behalf trying to protect their interests. That's the third leg of the stool.
So with your job title of Senior Power Supply Planner, I can only imagine that you are most versed in both power supply and consumer advocacy. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And John, you as a retired energy efficiency program planner for the commercial and industrial program?
Right. I would work with commercial and industrial and government entities to work with them to reduce their energy usage primarily through the uses of technology, but also through management of their energy consumption. It's an important component of an overall energy strategy.
And since your retirement, you have a successor that is continuing to deliver those
right.
services?
Correct? Yes, so that would be Nicole yep. Price Woodrun.
And the programs are continually being updated,
and
I can only imagine you've been to a lot of different commercial and industrial and government facilities around the Cape.
I've been to a tremendous number of them, yes, and a lot of progress has been made. People have been very aware. Certainly we've had periods in the past where energy costs were literally crippling, and so we had a lot of interest during those periods of times. But it's on everybody's mind that energy is a important component of business. It's a necessary component of business, and needs to be used wisely. And the Cape Light Compact offers opportunities for companies to use their energy efficiently and cost effectively.
So the energy efficiency programs of the Cape Light Compact, I can assume, are the most easily understood facets of the Compact in general to the public. Power supply and consumer advocacy, there seems to be, it's not clear as to what the Compact offers because it's not directly exposed to consumers every day in the efforts that we're doing. And that's kind of what you've been dealing with for the last 10 years or so, correct, Joe?
Right. Matt, I came in September 2003, and at that time, the Cape Light Compact had already been providing power supply to a class of customers called default service customers. It was a pilot program. It started in May 2002, as I mentioned, and we had about 43,000 consumers at that point. That program ended at the end of December in 2004, and in 2005, In March, the market completely opened for competition of supply in Massachusetts. So during that May 2002 through end of 2004 time period, this default pilot, one of the requirements, because it was a pilot program, was that we would be under NSTAR's basic service price. It was the default service price at that time. We were very successful in always being under that price. If we were not, we would have to put the customers back with NSTAR. When we first started that program, NSTAR's residential price had been about approximately 8.65 cents. And when we came in with our first residential customers, our rate was 4.898. Clearly savings for consumers at that point. A year and a half later, NSTAR's price was down to 4.94. So it just goes to show how great competition and what that will do to bringing prices more in line. In 2005, when the market completely opened up in March, this price to beat pilot no longer existed, and the entire concept of always having to have a price lower than the local distribution company, that concept went away because it was a full market competition open to all suppliers, and it's like any other functioning marketplace, whether it's natural gas or oil or gasoline or any other commodity that you want to purchase.
So during the default pilot program from 2002 to 2004, was the Cape Light Compact the only municipal aggregator to participate in the state of Massachusetts?
The Cape Light Compact was the first municipal aggregator in the United States, not only Massachusetts, but the United States. And our aggregation plan and request for proposals and a lot of information that was developed to form the compact and was used to get it through the approval process through the Department of Energy Resources and ultimately the Department of Public Utilities has been used as a model by other existing aggregations in Massachusetts today, but also by aggregations in other states. I mean, I have forwarded this type of information to San Francisco, Marin County, San Joaquin, a lot of entities in California I've worked with to assist them in trying to get documentation that they can use to form their own aggregations in other states.
So the Cape Light Compact aggregation plan essentially outlines the structure, operations, services, funding, and the different policies of the compact?
The aggregation plan was actually completed in 2002, and it was approved by the department. At that time, it was the Department of Telecommunications and Energy in a docket number 00-47, and that was in 2000. So that plan has been in effect, and we've been operating under that plan ever since.
Great. And recently, the Department of Public Utilities has asked the compact to go through their plan and update it as necessary. Is that true?
That's correct.
What kind of updates are we really looking for at this point?
Well, Matt, you know, as I said, there are other aggregations in Massachusetts at this point, and there are also other aggregations that are going through this Department of Energy Resources, Department of Public Utilities approval process. You have to go through that process to become a municipal aggregator. As a result of those pending dockets, we received a letter from the Department of Public Utilities on August 27th that essentially said, as part of our analysis of pending municipal aggregation plans, the department has reviewed the Cape Light Compact's municipal aggregation plan and notes that the plan, originally approved by the department, as I mentioned, may no longer fully and accurately reflect the current operations. It then goes on to say, Matt, that please review the municipal aggregation plan and determine whether the compact should file a revised plan to reflect the municipal aggregation program's current structure and operations. It says, at a minimum, we should consider removing references to Standard Offer Service and Commonwealth Electric Company. So those were terms that were used back in those years. Obviously, Commonwealth Electric is now NSTAR. Standard Offer and Default Service, those terms have gone away. So it's partly a housekeeping type of effort to update the plan to get rid of these references that no longer exist. But there was also one other part of the letter that essentially said, we have an outstanding docket for the city of Lowell, which is trying to go through this aggregation process. The department is going to rule on that docket any day now, and we've been advised by the department that we should review that docket and then take a look at that and see how that affects our aggregation plan and incorporate appropriately those items that we should use. Now, we haven't seen that order yet out of the department. We don't know what it says. So we can do the housekeeping items clearly, but once the order comes out, then we can take a look at that and respond appropriately.
Great. So you'd mentioned the Department of Public Utilities and the Department of Energy Resources. Those are, you know, as an energy efficiency program coordinator, those are two agencies that I'm very familiar with because we have agreements and approval with them for our energy efficiency programs as well. So a lot of what the compact does is directly tied into those two organizations, which are both state organizations, correct?
Correct.
Great. So jumping back over to energy efficiency. John, over the years of Cape Light, over the years that you've been with the Cape Light Compact, how have you seen the energy efficiency programs change?
At first, we had our challenge was to get into the marketplace and show people what the relationship between energy efficiency and power supply was. Initially, as Joe mentioned, the Cape Light Compact was the first of its kind. So no one back in 2003, I shouldn't say no one, but very few people back in 2003 understood what the Cape Light Compact was or even what the concept of it was. It is a government entity, is not a company. So right off the bat, we had to convince people and show people that we're not out there simply trying to sell them something. We were out there trying to assist them with modifying their energy consumption behavior and why we would go about doing this. Because intuitively you would think, well, why would a company be in the business of selling electricity and then be in the business of giving you an incentive not to use it?
Well, that is a good question. It doesn't make sense at first glance, does it?
At first glance, it doesn't make sense. But here's a little exercise you can go through. You can Google, or whatever search engine you want to use, but I happen to use Google. Google ISO New England, and go to their guest portal, it's called. And you can see the real-time price of electricity. And it's really, really interesting because I've taken screenshots of electricity. I know it's gone up over $1,000 a megawatt at one point in time. I did happen to catch it one day where it was a little over 700 and I took a screenshot of it. But typically a megawatt of electricity sells for, if you take that same screenshot at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll see that it's selling for $28 a megawatt. Big disparity in the price of electricity depending upon the time of day that you use it. What the power companies and what the producers would like to do is they would like to sell you more electricity, more of their product when they're paying $28 a megawatt for it than selling it when they're paying $700 a megawatt, because at $700 a megawatt, they're selling it at a huge loss. They don't want you using it then, so they don't want you using it because they are obligated to send it to you at a fixed price. So what we do with energy efficiency is we try to clip those periods of time when huge demands are being made on, people are familiar with the term, the grid. As big demands are made on the grid and strains are put on the grid, it's expensive to get it there, it's hard to get it there, it's much more efficient to help educate people and give people incentives to not use electricity, especially during those periods of time.
So those times that you're talking about are what you hear called the peak times, correct?
The peak times,
the
right.
Middle of the summer when everyone's got their air conditioners
exactly.
Yeah.
It is prohibitively expensive to provide electricity. Not only prohibitively expensive, it's difficult too, not just expensive. So it's difficult to do it then. So if we can introduce technologies and give people incentives to invest in those technologies to either stop consuming at that point in time or move their consumption to a time where it's less of a strain on the grid. It's literally a win-win situation. The consumer pays less for the amount of energy they're using. The utility company, the regulated part of the company, has to put fewer poles and wires in operation. And the generation company can provide electricity with less expensive electricity that's easier. So the challenge from the energy efficiency standpoint was, number one, who are we? Why are we here? Why would we be here? And you know, once you've crossed that hurdle, and people say, okay, yeah, I get it. I get why it is you're doing what you do. Now, what's in it for me? Okay, then the purpose of the energy efficiency group is to vet technologies. We work with the utilities in the entire Northeast. Actually, we work with them to scrutinize technologies, bring engineering talent to the table to determine what technologies are real and what ones are maybe not so real.
What the most cost-effective options would be? Is that what you're looking for?
The cost-effectiveness, and what incentives should we be providing? Because it's hard sometimes to get people to invest in technology because the technology is expensive. But if you bring an incentive along with it, which is what the Cape Light Compact does, bring an incentive along with it where you can get the cost of the technology to the consumer down to the point where it makes sense for them to go ahead and implement it, and they start seeing a return on their investment almost immediately, then that's what we do. And both the technologies and the initiatives for incentives have evolved over the years. We started off pretty much, what we did was we went to town meetings and handed out compact fluorescent light bulbs.
We still do that today. I think maybe some of our listeners have seen our smiling faces there on town meeting day.
I'm sure they have, but that's really what we were all about initially, was handing out these compact fluorescent light bulbs and going one-on-one with people. The Cape Cod is a small place. You go one-on-one with somebody, you convince that one person, take this light bulb, you've got a 15-watt compact fluorescent light bulb, you go replace a 60 watt incandescent light bulb, you've saved 3/4 of your energy. Oh, by the way, please tell your friends.
Right.
Okay. And the next thing you know, after the time has gone by, everybody knows who the Cape Light Compact is, what it is we do, what our 800 number is, how to get on the list to get your home or business audited. And so we've built it up from there, and the compact has grown. It's grown tremendously in that 10-year period. We started off with myself, Margaret Song, Maggie Downey, Kevin Galligan, and Kathy Stoffel, to what it is today, which is what?
A staff of 14.
14 people now.
We'll be 15 temporarily until Joe retires.
Exactly. So yeah. it's gotten big and delivered tremendous, not only incentive, but tremendous value to Cape Cod. We are very particular about our energy consumption out here and its effects on the environment and the effects on our pocketbook.
So you had just said the benefit that it brings to Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. And I think that's an important thing to note as well, because the Cape Light Compact, all of our efforts are being reinvested here, mm-hmm. right? On this little peninsula and that island that sits just to the south.
Right.
And the energy efficiency programs that you were mentioning, I think it's also important to note that they're not funded just by a magic entity like the Cape Light Compact. You're actually paying into this stuff every month. It doesn't come out of any hidden fees in the power supply price. It's something that you're reinvesting.
It's a line item on your electric bill, and everyone that pays an electric bill pays into this fund, and the fund is then in turn invested into the community. Has a double benefit, triple benefit: the benefit of not consuming the Earth's resources in the way of fuel. It provides a lot of employment on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. The Cape Light Compact, not only its own staff, but all of the vendors and everything that are involved are all, for the most part, Cape Cod residents. So we're doing this work on our own, and we're not sending the money over to the Middle East, which is where the money would go. People, for the most part, don't make the connection between electricity, which is something that seems to come out of an outlet in the wall, and the oil fields in the Middle East. But that's where a lot of this energy comes from, and the less of it we use, the better off we're all going to be in the long run. So,
and for those of you interested, and for those of you interested in taking advantage of those energy efficiency programs, the number to the Cape Light Compact's call center is 1-800-797-6699. So take advantage of it. You're paying
right,
for it.
Right.
You're listening to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy. Our guests today are Joe Sorys, Senior Power Supply Planner with the Compact, and retired Commercial and Industrial Program Planner, John Burns. We're here talking about the Cape Light Compact's comprehensive energy services. John, you just mentioned something. You mentioned oil, which, as you know, everybody knows, the price fluctuates.
Sure.
Oil, natural gas, all these commodities that people don't realize are what actually produce your electricity, correct? It needs to be burned somehow. Electricity doesn't just come out of the ground. So, in turn, is electricity a commodity? And Joe, this might be something that you have more experience with, and you know the variations in price. And you know, is the Cape Light Compact's price different than a competitor? Essentially, why can't the Cape Light Compact always have the cheapest price?
I think the answer to that, Matt, is relatively simple. Marketplace in New England, all of us are purchasing from the same marketplace. The generation in New England, it's well over 50% now that uses natural gas as the fuel to generate electricity. It wasn't always that way, but it is now. So we're heavily dependent on natural gas. It's what they call the fuel on the margin. It sets the price of electricity just about every hour in New England. The delivery of natural gas into New England during this past winter, and it's going to be again this upcoming winter and this past summer, the price of delivered natural gas, and I say delivered because while the price of the commodity may not have gone up as much over the last year or two, the price to get it delivered into New England during those peak summer months, as you mentioned, during the high air conditioning season or during the winter, during the high heating seasons, the infrastructure to get that in here from various parts of the country, primarily from Louisiana and the Henry Hub, which the natural gas flows from the Gulf, is very, very strained. The infrastructure is very old, a lot of leakage, and the prices for what they call the basis, the delivery piece, goes through the roof. And so if you're a consumer that's on a variable price, on a month-to-month price, you may be very happy with your price in April, May, and June. You're not going to be so happy with that price in January and February and December of this upcoming period, nor in July and August of next year. So I would highly recommend that customers who have a variable price to take a look at their contract to make sure that they are not subject to any pass-throughs, because we are going to see pass-throughs by a lot of companies this winter based on a winter reliability program that has been put into effect to try to diversify fuel and use other fuel sources so that we're not so dependent on natural gas. And that's been instituted by ISO New England, which is the independent system operator that operates the grid and maintains the marketplace in New England, and approved at the federal level by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So the price of electricity, we're all in the same marketplace, it's set. The difference between our price and other prices from other competitors, obviously, is dependent on when you purchase, how you've hedged it, what time period did you buy your energy for, how are you taking care of your renewable energy certificates, which are mandatory in Massachusetts as part of your supply. All retail providers have to deal with that. But with respect to the Cape Light Compact and, say, NSTAR, the difference between the two, and we've been under NSTAR's price, I'd say, probably 65% of the time since 2003. There are times when we've been higher. And the difference, I think, Matt, has to go to what I call a structural difference between how the distribution company is able to recover its costs and how competitive suppliers have to set their price. And the competitive supplier, for instance, has to build into its price to us a call center. It has to put in a risk premium for bad debt.
So it has costs so that forth. A distribution company has already through distribution. I get
it,
you.
It has it through distribution, but in some cases, the for instance, the NSTAR customer service center is probably socialized over all distribution customers. Their bad debt is reconciled every year, and they either they put a factor in their basic service for it. If they undercollect or overcollect, they reconcile that through the distribution rate, so they're made whole. Whereas the competitive supplier, he has to kind of figure out, what should I put in my price for my bad debt? And he only gets one shot at it. He can't reconcile it. So there's these structural differences, I think, that really create what I would term a not a level playing field in the competitive market between competitive suppliers like us and the basic distribution company.
And that's why I started off by saying that power supply is not the easiest thing to understand, because to most people that's difficult to understand.
Right.
So just know that there are people here at Cape Light Compact that know it very thoroughly, like you do, Joe. And yeah, I think this is probably a good time. I think we're running a little low on time, but you are departing the Cape Light Compact. You are retiring soon, correct?
I will be retiring at the end of the year. We do have a replacement. His name is Stefan Wollenberg. He will be starting on November 4th, and I will have a 3 to 4 week transition period with Stefan, and I'm looking forward to working with him, and I think he will pick up right where I left off, and I think he'll do a tremendous job for the Compact. I see the Cape Light Compact as having a very, very bright future in all aspects. We're in the middle of another 3-year plan, as we've discussed. I think our power supply program, while not always the lowest price, provides a very competitive price. It provides customer choice. Hey, I live here. I have to pay that bill as well. So it's in my best interest to try to get the best price that I can for consumers as well as for myself.
All three of us do, and that's an important takeaway. We are local. So. And what's next for both of you? John, you're departing from the radio show?
Yeah, I had retired originally 3 years ago. I'd stayed on to do some part-time work, work with Nicole a little bit, handing off some of the projects that I had to her. I had this radio program for several years after that. But now I am departing for other opportunities, and not the least of which is I have a daughter that's in the cruise industry, and I'm going to go do a little cruising with her, and looking forward to that. So.
Fantastic. And Joe?
I think I'm going to try to work to get my handicap down.
Playing a little golf, maybe down in Florida this winter?
I'll be heading to Florida after the first of the year. I'm looking forward to a few months there and playing some golf and spending more time with my family and enjoying my grandchildren more. So I'm really looking forward to retirement.
Well, you both deserve it. You've given a great benefit to the Cape Light Compact, probably more than just Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard, given your experiences in life, which is greater than just this. But we thank you, and we wish you guys the best in your future endeavors.
Well, thank you, Matt. And we can take some comfort in knowing that we've left the Cape Light Compact in very, very good hands, and that's very satisfying, too.
Thank you. You've been listening to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy. Timely topics on energy matters of interest to Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. If you have questions or topics that you'd like us to discuss in future programs, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org or call us at 800-797-6699. I'd like to thank my guests, Joe Sorries, Senior Power Supply Planner with the Compact, and retired Commercial and Industrial Program Planner John Burns. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Maddie Dunn, the Station Operations Manager, for his good work in getting this program out to you. Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, WOMR 92.1, and in Orleans, WFMR 91.3, on your FM dial. It's also streamed worldwide at www.omr.org.